wrestling fans, are you ready?
Yes, 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 yes.
For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, let's get ready to rumble!
And now, please welcome at this time your hosts, Graham GSM Matthews and RJ Marceau. You're listening to the next era of wrestling radio. This is Wrestle Rant Radio.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Wrestle Rant Radio for Thursday, March 21st, 2024. I'm Graham Jason Matthews. Hope you guys are doing well and having a great week so far. We got WWE Hall of Famer Diamond Dallas Page back here on the show today to talk all about his new A&E biography that aired this past week, Legends, biography on A&E itself, all about his career, sharing tons of stories and so much more. The interview was done about a week ago. The special aired this past week. You can still watch it now, streaming available on A&E, you know, whatever, on YouTube as well. Anywhere you can catch the documentary, I would strongly recommend it. So we talk all about the special, what it entailed exactly, his career, like I mentioned, and so much more. Cody Rhodes, the current product. It was a great chat. Although it was from last week, I thought it was worth sharing again here today. It didn't air last week here on the show, but we did record the interview early last week. Thought it was worth sharing here on the show just because it was a great conversation. Almost 30 minutes of audio, literally of DDP just sharing stories about his career, about Cody, and so much more. So you're going to enjoy that one. And then the back end of the show, we're going to have Mr. Marceau back on, as usual, to talk all about Raw for Monday night, some Rock reports, and a lot more from the past week in the world of wrestling. So with that being said, you can check out new episodes of Wrestle Rant Radio every single Thursday on WrestleRant.com, WrestleRantRadio.com, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Rate the show, review the show, subscribe to the show. Never miss a new episode every single Thursday. Without further ado, folks, enjoy my exclusive interview with WWE Hall of Famer DDP himself, Diamond Dallas Page. Graham Matthews with FanSided here. We're talking to DDP Diamond Dallas Page ahead of the upcoming episode, WWE Biography Legends, airing on A&E this Sunday, March 17th. DDP, man, what's going on? Thanks for taking the time.
I'm just getting the word out about the biography, excited about it, like the way they did it. I mean, I can't believe that they fit that much of my life into that short a period of time, but it worked. And I think they're going to dig it. I think they're going to dig seeing Kimberly, you know, on again, because you don't really get to see, you know, that kind of situation, especially when you were married and now you're not. But Kimberly and I are really still very close. Matter of fact, I just hired her as the COO of DDP Yoga because I want some of her wisdom instead of being part-time to be full-time. So her and her husband are they're literally driving from Vegas, you know, to here in Atlanta as we speak. I'm excited to have her, and she's on the show. My sister Sally, you'll get to see some of the perspectives of my sister, so who was on that ride for me as I went along, and it was a hell of a journey, man. Still going.
Yeah, obviously part of your legacy is helping other people as well. We spoke to you last year about the Jake Roberts documentary that, you know, A&E did on him, and then we just had Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, obviously last week. Your episode airing this week. I feel like it's super fitting to not only get you and Razor, to get you and Scott in the same season, but back-to-back weeks, I mean, just works out perfectly.
You know, I will never forget having that first phone call from Scott when he was annihilated. You know, we were the first, you know, Resurrection of Jake the Snake. If anybody's never seen it, let's go to Amazon Prime. It's up there. But we were talking. I actually got Sean Waltman had sent me a DM. And someone told me about it because I don't look at all those DMs on, especially Twitter back in the day, 2013 or whatever it was. I think it was 2012 or 2013. And it said, Dally, love what you've done with Jake. Will you please reach out to Scott? He said he's got a gun. He said he's going to kill himself. So I pick up the phone. He in 10 years, Scott had not answered the call. Like, just not answer. Let it go to the machine. Never call me back. This day he picked up. And it was a magical call in the way that he started just like so out of it. But by the end, you could see him coming around and his voice was changing. And, you know, in Resurrection of Jake the Snake, we could only put like 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes in there, but it was like 20.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we got to the end of it, you really thought like, man, maybe there's a chance. Maybe there's a chance that he could come back and he'll come in and be with us and just the camaraderie and try to help each other. And we hung up and I was going in the refrigerator and Jake was behind me. I look at Jake, I go, can you imagine you and Scott both getting sober in the same year, in the same house? And he shook his head as only Jake can say, whew, I'm going to go get your crown of thorns ready right now. And he walked off. And I just laughed out loud because only Jake Roberts would say such a witty cat, you know, mm-hmm. like funny though, you know, but it's good to be in the same year. I really miss him. I was very emotional during that interview because it was like, boom, pretty much, you know, a few months after it. So it was, you know, it was tough having that, but you know, I'm glad, you know, they captured that, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, like you said, his story is well documented. Scott's, Jake's, yours as well. WWE has done docs on you before that came out around the time that you were inducted about 7 years ago at this point. I was in Orlando for that Mania. So to think it's been 7 years since you were inducted is crazy. But just kind of talking about like this opportunity to reflect on your career, is it any differently now than it was even 7 years ago, having a different outlook on your career compared to that point when you were first documenting your career?
Well, it was different outcomes for a different outlook to it. You know, I like the way it was a different way they cut this mm-hmm. and stuff from the club days and stuff, you know, stuff, pictures that you've never seen before, you know, that I didn't realize that they put in there, you know? So I enjoyed it, you know, and I'm very critical of anything that has to do with me. So if I enjoy it, I think other people will as well, you know, and it gets into, you know, the work that I'm doing today, you know, and it's what we're doing today. Like it's gotta be 20 years ago. I was doing maybe it was longer than that. I was doing an interview with Brian Alvarez. You know mm-hmm. who he is?
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
Brian had said to me, he said, so where is Diamond Dallas Page 5 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
I said, honestly, I said, my program, I think it starts to overshadow my wrestling career. And he went, whoa, he goes, that's a bold statement. He goes, because you had a hell of a career. I said, yeah, but what I'm doing today, it's next level stuff. You know, it's changing people. It's not just helping people change their life, but helping people own their lives. And a lot of them who didn't ever think that was possible. So I think you start to get more of a taste of that in this documentary as well.
It's been about, 4 years now since your last match as part of that Bash at the Beach, whatever it was called, that AEW event back right. in January of 2020. Obviously, keeping busy recently. I know you were at Rumble Weekend. We'll get back to that. But you were at Sting's last match just a week and a half ago, documenting that experience, getting to see his last match, which was obviously epic. Talk about, like, I don't know if you get into it in the documentary, so if you do, I apologize. But as far as, like, was having that one final match to you, like, something of super importance, or just going out there and doing, you know, having fun? You've been in a Rumble, Battle Royals here and there. Was that of something like, I want to have my final match be, like, a big deal sort of thing, or just kind of ride out into the sunset?
Well, you know, if it would have just been a regular match, and I didn't do something I've never done before, which mm-hmm. is Cody. You know what? This is Cody's call.
Yeah.
He goes, you go in there and blow a comeback like I know you can. He said, and then Dustin's going to do this flip over, and then QT's going to do this flip over, and then you're going to go to the top and jump on everybody. And I just went, I didn't sell it. You know, I didn't sell it. Kind of like what Bischoff told me, and Sting's going to drop from the ground, and you're going to grab him, and you're both going to go up together. I didn't sell it.
Yep.
You know? I knew there was more than just hold on to Sting, we're going up, which they just showed that recently, which is pretty cool. But for me, when I was a manager in AWA, there's a picture somewhere, because I had it, and someone has it. It's not as clear as I'd want it to be, but the Guerreros were in a feud with my bad company, my guys, that I was managing. And at the end of this spot, Paul goes down and, you know, Pac goes out, so I come over to help them up, and here's Mondo running full speed, runs up to the top, and springboards on top of us. I'd never seen that ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a picture of me like, oh my God, like what the hell is he doing? Because no one's smartened me up either. Okay. He just came flying. And that would be the last thing I would do in professional wrestling. That's pretty epic. You know? So I'm good with how I went out with that. And I was glad I had it. And I got to do promos, because as soon as Cody told me that they were getting TNT, right in the beginning, I said to him, I said, you know, bro, I think I might want to do something. Because the fact, if you would have told me, and I said this in an interview, that DDP would have been back on TNT with a company called AEW, I'd have to say, you're smoking crack, you know? But here I am. And we were getting a good buzz that night, having a few beers and stuff. And I called them back the next day. And I said, you know, bro, I think I might have been talking, you know, too fast. I go, let's table this for a while. And this was right in the beginning. And he goes, sure. If you wanted to let me know. And then I realized that if you go back to 1979, when I had three matches in wrestling, the third one, I hurt my knee and ended up getting an opportunity to run a little rock and roll joint. So I never went back to wrestling. The booze, the broads, and the party took me in a whole different spot. But 79, when I come in and work with Dusty Rhodes in 88 and 89, Florida Championship Wrestling, 89, he has me managing Big Steel Man, who would become Tugboat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also color commentating with Gordon Solie. And he's against Dick Slater. And if Dick Slater beats him, he's got 5 minutes with me. Like, that match is on YouTube somewhere. I saw it one point in time. Not that bad, considering I don't know anything, you know? And bottom line, so that's 70s, there's the 80s. 90s, you know my run there. 2000, in 2010, Ray Loy called me up and said, we want to do the six-man. We want you to be in it. It's up in Rome, Georgia. You know, it's a good payoff for you. Well, I go, dude, I don't want to do it. He goes, bro, just please think about it. And I thought about 70s, 80s, 90s. That'll mean I wrestled in 5 decades.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it became 2020, I called Cody back up and I said, I want to do it. It'll give me 6 decades. I don't know many people who can say that they wrestled at least once in 6 decades.
Yeah.
But I'm one of those few people who can say that. And that's the main reason I did it. And getting to work with MJF, who we know is one of the biggest cats on the world now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're bringing him world champion for a while, and maybe one of the greatest talkers ever. You know, he's definitely in top five. I mean, this kid can go. So to be able to work with him in his, you know, his infancy stages,
mm-hmm,
coming out was really cool. So I really enjoyed that. So I'm good. Now, if WWE wanted me to do something, I might think about it. But I don't see it happening. So, you know, unless they're going to do People's Champ against People's Champ. Oh, wait a minute. Rock's not the People's Champ now. You know, I love the fact of what The Rock is doing. Man, how this has elevated Cody to like a level that, like when I did his stuff with Malone, which I love Malone in the biography, which, mm-hmm, is he's such a real loving guy. And we had a great time when we were doing that. And, you know, he really trained with me a lot. But when I did that and we shot that angle on the Tonight Show where Malone, Rodman and Hogan were on the set of Tonight Show. We came in from the wings right after they had finished the series, and we shot that angle, man. It took me to a different level. Like, with the, not so much as the regular wrestling fans, I think I was already there with them, but people who didn't know, but now knew that name. Well, Cody right now, between working with one of the greatest champions ever, Roman, you know, he had an unbelievable run, and now the biggest star in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you had to really think about that, because the biggest star in the world used to be Tom Cruise. Over the last 8 to 10 years, it's been The Rock. And he's one of us. So that's a really big deal, you know? And the fact that Cody is in all of that, and there's a really good chance he could walk away with the brass ring, is really pretty wild and amazing all at the same time. So couldn't be any happier for him. And all of a sudden, it's cool to be a wrestling fan again. Because you know what most of those people don't know, because you've been following the stories as it's gone through. And I love the storytelling today. And the guy who's mostly responsible for that is Triple H. And we started together. When he came in, he was 22. I was 35, you know, at the power plant. And he was there every day right with me. I remember one night, we went to a gentleman's club after we got done working out, have a few beers. Triple H never drank. He was just with us. And I was standing with Terry Taylor, who had been training us. And Triple H took a walk to go to the restroom. And he goes, "I really like that kid. He's got your work ethic." I said, "Yeah, and his age." Yeah, he was 22, I was 35. So I love the storytelling that they're doing right now.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I was there at the Rumble, so I was in the press box. And I think at that point, everyone started to filter out because we had the press conference right after, which obviously, you know, because you asked Cody a question, you were sitting right in front of me. It was pretty funny to see that. But prior to that point, though, so Cody wins the Rumble. I'm thinking Punk's winning. But I mean, obviously, I'm happy with Cody winning. It was an amazing moment. But you're sitting there next to Chris Van Vliet, that is, obviously. And it was me, my girlfriend, a couple other people on my left. There was like no one else there, but you were still there. Everyone else got up because we had to get going. Literally, as soon as the match was over, we had to run down to the press conference for as soon as it started. But Cody wins, and I'm packing all my shit up as quickly as I can. My girlfriend said she looked over at you, and you were obviously, as you just talked about Cody, as happy as could be. You looked over, shot her a smile and a thumbs up like, my man just did it. Cody just won the Rumble. So just an amazing moment. It was just cool to see that in person, just to see your reaction to Cody, then getting to ask him a question at the press conference too.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because Chris said, because they were coming to you, they walked through and they hand you the little band
so you can
get in the press conference. And the guy handed me one. And he looks and goes, "Hey," he goes, "you're going to be in the press conference. You should come."
God, yeah.
I go, "Yeah, maybe I'll come." He goes, "You should ask the first question." Swear to God, he said that.
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, right. Okay." And I leave it. And I realized, because all you guys are gone, and I didn't know how to get back downstairs.
Yeah. Oh, it was crazy.
The elevator, I got on it with so many fans. Everybody was freaking out because I was there. So I just figured, screw it. I'm going to walk down through the people. I'm going to catch him at some point walking down the, you know, the ramp.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
People were freaking, like getting like whiplash.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just walked through and walked right down the thing, climbed over the railing. And Cody is the ultimate babyface. And this is why.
Seriously. To me, yeah.
He's that guy outside of the cameras as well. But you know, they're not filming anymore. He's going down. He could have just been high-fiving people back, but he doesn't. He takes the time.
Mm-hmm.
He takes pictures with people. I can remember, this is all the shit I used to do. And back when it was just those little, you know, $8 cameras, the throwaways, people be like trying to take a picture and they'd be so nervous. I go, calm down, just breathe. No, don't take my camera, don't get it. Because they would take cameras back then. And I would just go like this. and do camera picture like that with the picture. And I watch him doing that and signing autographs. And then he turned around and I was standing right there. He's like, gave me a big hug. And it was really a fun moment, because in wrestling, there's so many swerves and you don't really know what's going to happen until you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you never believe, you know, what anyone says until you're on the, you've done your entrance and you're walking to the ring, and then you know what's going to happen, but they can't change it then. So whatever you got told is what's going to happen. And that could change 7 different ways. And there's a lot of ego goes into professional wrestling, because in a world that's predetermined, it's not up to you. It's up to you, though, how you control this 6-inch piece of real estate in between your ears. I wrote a book on it and call it Positively Unstoppable, The Art of Owning It. It is that inner voice. It is that story you tell yourself. And when you really start to own that, you really get to control the only thing you get to control. And that's the way you react, how you adapt, how you take action, and how you breathe. And breathing will control all of that. So as you can imagine, over these last couple of years, I have said to him on many occasions, just breathe, bro. Just breathe. And it's so important. When I walked out for my Hall of Fame ring, inside my Hall of Fame ring, it says, work ethic equals dreams. Explanation point, DDP. When I walked out there with my four daughters, 20 minutes before that, I'm breathing in and out for 3, 5, 10, 15. And at some point, I'm mastering 20. One breath, one inhale, one exhale. What happens when you're deep breathing, you activate the hypothalamus, which is connected to the pituitary gland in the brain, which helps you relieve stress and anxiety due to the physiological effect it has on our nervous system. When you're deep breathing, you personally are sending neurohormones to inhibit the stress-producing hormones, which triggers a relaxation response in the body. So that's why your breath isn't just the most important thing you do because of your life. I mean, we can survive without weeks without food, days without water, but not even minutes without air. So your breath is the most important thing. And so many times, bro, just breathe. No, breathe. And it will relieve the stress and anxiety.
I think that's an amazing note to end on. And not only that, what's funny, DDP, is that when we spoke last year for the Jake episode, you said something similar as far as like the affirmations too. And you mentioned the Muhammad Ali quote, obviously, I am the greatest. I embarrassingly thought when you asked me who said that quote, I said Dusty Rhodes.
Dude, I never forgot that, because you're the only one that said that. But I thought to myself, it could have been.
Yeah, I mean, no, definitely.
Really,
yeah.
It really could have been.
Yeah. And what I was going to say was that, you know, that was about a year ago. And obviously, I haven't forgotten it was an Ali quote since then. Today, as we speak, on Monday, March 11th, latest inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. Everything happens for a reason, I think. He was just announced today. So it's kind of cool. It all kind of goes full circle.
Who's outside?
Muhammad Ali announced today for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Dude, so Muhammad Ali was like the biggest wrestling fan.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
that he's going in on number 40. You know, like, man, I had I had two different really special moments with him. And like the time that I already told you the time about where I met him the first time, right? I told you that, right?
Yeah.
It was just so magical, man. He was he changed the world on so many different levels. I mean, if you really, there's a documentary right now that's amazing. I believe I saw it on Amazon, and it's I Am Ali.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing. And Gene Kilroy, who was his manager, was also a humongous Karl Malone fan. And I was there when they lost game six and they weren't going to, you know, they weren't going to beat the Bulls, you know. Mm-hmm. Gene was there and he gave, like, when someone becomes a champion, all the guys who are responsible, they all get a ring, right? That whoever trained him, whoever was in his corner, those guys. Gene Kilroy was his manager. He gave him the Muhammad Ali ring. How much did he love Karl Malone?
That's crazy.
Yeah, right? Wow. And I remember it because he had it on. And Gene told me he was going to do it. And I was like, wow, that's a ring that, you know, you can't put a price value on that, you know?
Yeah. That's so, a memory so cool that they'll never forget. Yeah.
I'm going to put up a bunch of pictures of me and him. I got a bunch of them. I love them.
That's awesome. Well, like I said, it all works out for a reason. Glad he's going in. Glad you went in 7 years ago, obviously, DDP. And everyone can check out your documentary. Talking all about this stuff and so much more, obviously, airing this Sunday on A&E Biography, WWE Legends. Always a pleasure chatting, DDP. Like I said, I'll never forget that you corrected me on that Ali quote. And hopefully next time I'll do my research a little bit better. But it's always a pleasure, my man. Thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
You couldn't have had a better answer, though.
That's true.
Because it's every time I ask it to people,
yeah.
Every time I hear that.
Yeah.
And there was times when Dream, especially when we were at Florida Championship Wrestling, because he was really wanting, he put his own money into that, you know, because he could do 5,000 people at an autograph signing. But then WWF just took, they were taking so much of the business at that point that you just couldn't have a Florida come anymore. But I would watch him, not just there, but later on when he brought me into WCW, I literally was in booking meetings. Like, you know, how they decide what they're going to do, what the angles are, and who's going to do this, who's going to do that. And Dusty, I had no idea how much heat this was getting me, and not good heat.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd ask my opinion, and I'd tell him. And I had a pretty good insight in the business, but I didn't realize, like, in that room how much heat I was getting by letting people know exactly how I felt. And I would watch guys, and I would never name names, but stab Dusty in the back. And I would be like, Dream, how do you do it, bro? How do you stay so positive? Now, this is me saying that to somebody. So, you know,
saying something,
everybody said the same thing to me.
Yeah.
You know, but I learned a lot of it from him. And the reason why I am a 3-time world champion, the mental part was him. Did I ever tell you that story?
I think so. I think we spoke last time about that, I believe.
Yeah. It was so powerful. It was so powerful when I told him I was never going to be him, Rick, or Hogan. I said, I know I'm never going to be. And he came back with, I said, man, I know I'm never going to be the world champion. And man, he just, what? That enough. You know, but it was just like, he set me straight.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't believe it, why should anybody else? And that goes back to people who say, I believe it when I can see it. Those people never see shit. But the people say, I believe it because I see it. Cody Rhodes saw this leaving the WWE. It isn't just something that happened. He saw it when he was a kid coming in. Actually, what he was going to do, he didn't get a chance to do it while he was still alive. But he was going to give him the belt.
Mm-hmm.
So he never got a chance to do that, you know, but there will be this moment, and I hope it all comes around for just professional wrestling in general. Hey, Graham, great talking to you, man. Come up and say hello at a press conference if you see me sitting in there.
I definitely will. I look forward to a DDP. I look forward to. Are you going to be there Mania Week? And I imagine so. I mean, it's Cody's big.
Yeah, I'll get in a couple of days early. But not much, because I'm going from there to Bora Bora for my wife's 50th.
Wow. Yeah. Well, congratulations. So, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And she's 50 and she looks 32. Another freak that holds back the hands of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I knew she really wanted to go. And like the last thing I want to do is travel anywhere before that. But obviously, I'm not missing this.
No, definitely not. I don't think any of us are. And we're not going to be missing, to kind of throw it all the way back around, your A&E biography airing this Sunday, March 17th. DDP, man, this has always been amazing. I look forward to seeing you in person next time and chatting the next time as well.
You got it, man. Have a good one.
You too.
See ya.
Big thanks to DDP for the time. The video version of that interview available right now over on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/WrestleRant. And the article version of the interview available right now over at DailyDDT.com from a couple of days ago. Check it out when you get a chance. Now we throw it to my conversation with Mr. Marceau, talking all things Raw from this past week, some Rock reports, and a whole lot more. Mr. Marceau, brother, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing well. I had to check up on you after the return of the Hollywood Rock theme on SmackDown last week. What's the update?
Oh, I went nuts. The concert itself,
I thought it was good.
I thought it was fine. I mean, it wasn't old good rock stuff, but it was fine. But, I mean, the theme, him coming back with the Hollywood Rock for me was more special than the concert.
The funny, so I was watching the show, but I caught up after the fact, and I just went right into the show live. Typically, I'll rewind it, but we were watching it with someone else, and we just went into it live. So I caught it in the middle of the concert, and it wasn't until the segment was over that they started playing the music. I'm like, wait, what the fuck? Like, did he come out to this? So I went back and watched the video, and he comes out to his usual theme with the pyrotechnics and shit, and then it kind of segues into, you hear, oh, The Rock says, and that was never in the Hollywood Rock theme. That's just like his original theme song. So they kind of remix that with the Hollywood Rock song. And then from there, it's just straight up Hollywood Rock. I'm like, dude, let's fucking go. So they're not even waiting until WrestleMania to bring it back. I mean, that has got to be one of the maybe not even low key, because we all agree it's a banger. But like, you grew up on that era, and I'm not even nostalgic towards it, because I didn't grow up in the time that they were using, that he was using that song 20 years ago. But man, I mean, the fact that he brought that back is just so fucking cool. That has got to be one of the best theme songs of the past 25 years.
They do need to add back in the It's Cooking. That's like the
cooking.
Best part.
Yeah.
Cooking. Din, din. Oh, it's so fucking good.
It's so good.
But I do like how they added the Thunderbolts and the Lightning and stuff. I like that little add-on too, but they really need to add on the It's Cooking.
The presentation of the Rock entrance is just on another level right now. He's doing great work. I'm loving the heel stuff. Some stuff better than other stuff. And it seems like his better promos are coming on social media, like the 9, 10, 20-minute promos he's cutting on Twitter and Instagram. But the stuff he's been doing on SmackDown has been really good, too. The stuff last week was great. The Rock concert I enjoyed. He got serious at the end there addressing Cody Rhodes. You would watch that promo thinking that he's facing Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. He's not. I mean, he is, but it's not him and Roman Reigns. It's not, Rock and Roman in Night 2. It's not Rock and Cody in Night 2. It's Cody and Roman Reigns. And WWE has really needed to get back to their roots with Cody and Roman. I've said that to you before. They did that with the Cody interview last week on Raw. We didn't really go in detail with that, but I really loved the Cody emotional promo on Raw last week, and people were making fun of the fact that he cried, and I get that. He does that a lot. He gets more emotional than Ric Flair, it seems, in his promos nowadays. But, you know, I thought it was a really good promo. And he addressed Cody, or Cody addressed Roman Monday night. They're going to be going face-to-face on SmackDown tomorrow night as we speak right now. So they're doing their due diligence while also selling the tag team match as well. But I got to mention this, though. I mentioned the social media promos from Rock. We didn't have a chance to talk about this because the report came out after we spoke last week, but I thought it was worth bringing up, and I touched upon it briefly in Hashtag on Wednesday. Apparently, there's heat on the Rock, not from the company, it seems like, and if there is, from anyone in a higher position of power, it's not from within WWE. They're probably loving the fact that he's doing numbers on Twitter and Instagram and bringing in more people to watch these shows that might not ordinarily tune into SmackDown. It would have been, you know, someone from Fox or whatever, and the least they can do is let Rock do whatever the fuck he wants. I mean, the amount of technical issues that Fox has had with SmackDown, not nearly as many as Dynamite on TBS in the last couple of years, obviously, but in terms of, like, the blacking out and the audio being messed up, it's just unbearable sometimes. They could not get off of Fox quicker come the fall when they go back to USA Network with SmackDown. But yeah, so apparently there was heat on him for stuff like that, for using stuff on TV, but also from the roster itself, from the talent that aren't happy with the fact that there's a double standard and Rock can do what he wants. And in short, I basically said yesterday in the Q&A video, tough shit. I mean, the Rock is the literal big, one of the biggest stars in the entire world. And at that point, you're just kind of got to have to let him do what he wants. And I'm not just saying, oh, he's the biggest star in the world. He can do whatever he wants. If it wasn't quality content, I would have an issue with that. But it's putting more eyes on the product. And there's no debate about that. Every segment that he's in does monster numbers live and after the fact on social media. And it's working. And even the type of people that Cody and Rollins are, they're not going to cut a 20-minute promo on Twitter to respond. I thought Cody's response on Raw this week, he got to say dick and bitch. Oh, you know, like edgy. But, you know, but seriously, I thought it was really good stuff. Your thoughts on the reports about Rock getting heat, quote unquote, from the roster and that there's a double standard. And maybe it's just overblown that there's heat on him and it's just a few people that have been rubbed the wrong way. But I really don't think this is a big deal.
I mean, it's The Rock at the end of the day. Like, he earned the opportunity. Like, he's earned the right. Like you said, he pulls big numbers. He's just a different animal, like, on Stardom. So, obviously, the stars are going to get better treatment. And, I mean, he pulls in ratings. He's one of the biggest recognized faces in the world, just not even wrestling-related specifically. So, I mean, the star player usually gets to get away a little bit more than the other guys do, and that's why he's The Rock. So, I mean, you don't like it, get over. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, seriously, I don't know, from a fan standpoint, talent standpoint, if it's working and it makes sense. I don't know, it's refreshing too. But this can't be the only time this has happened. I remember distinctly when Rock came back for the first time as part of this, you know, his initial return run back in 2011. It was a big deal, the promo that he cut. He first of all, went overtime by like 15 minutes. And he does that now from time to time. That's really no shocker. If you watch SmackDown, it's pretty evident. But when he first came back in 2011, he was saying stuff like, at this point, that's far from taboo. We hear it literally every week on Raw, SmackDown, NXT. He was saying bitch, he was saying ass, and all this other sort of stuff. And again, it sounds ridiculous saying that out loud, like, oh, that's such a big deal. But it was. 13 years ago, when he came back and he was saying that sort of stuff, it was a big deal. Because they had gone PG 3 years earlier, and a lot of the talent, most of the talent, weren't saying that sort of stuff in their promos. But Rock came back, probably without a script, and said whatever the hell he wanted. And it was a big deal, and he continued to push the boundaries. There was probably heat on him from the roster at that point for doing something that most people would probably get in trouble for. But listen, if it works and the storyline's been compelling, I really don't see what the big deal is here. I don't really see what the big deal is here with Rock being able to do what he wants. And I don't know, I feel like between that, the Hollywood Rock stuff, I'm really, really hoping we get more of heel Rock after WrestleMania, because I feel like this is way too good just to be short-lived.
Yeah, I think I agree on that. He does need to work on the material a little bit. I think, like, his material just isn't the greatest as a heel, I think. Like, the whole, like, Rudy Poo and, like, all these stupid sayings, like, yeah, not as good as a heel. So I feel like he needs to kind of, like, refresh that up a little bit, especially now that he's heel. But like I said, I think if him versus Roman eventually, I'd rather Roman be face and him still be a heel than the roles reverse, Roman still being a heel.
Yeah, I think he's still trying to find his footing in the role. He hasn't been a heel in over 20 years, and it's been entertaining. The Rock concert stuff has worked, I think. And like I said, I feel like the best part of that segment last week on SmackDown was when he got serious at the end there, when he was addressing Cody Rhodes, you know, straight on. So I would like to see more of that. I feel like he's just only scratched the surface of what he could do in the role. I did see the report, and I don't know how legitimate it is or if it was just speculation, that he's going to be filming a movie coming out of WrestleMania for like 4 months, from April to August, which would probably put him out of contention for a match at SummerSlam, because SummerSlam this year is on, like, I think on August 3rd or something like that. It's pretty early. It was early last year, but it's even earlier this year due to the leap year. And he can't appear on Raw in that time or SmackDown. So if that's the case, then he probably won't be around to build a match, whatever it would be. And that's a bummer. But again, that's not confirmed. He might still make an occasional appearance via satellite, which is nothing great, but I don't know. We still don't know what the future holds for Rock in WWE beyond WrestleMania. We are getting Rock and Roman at some point. There's no doubt about that in my mind at all. The circumstances surrounding which will be interesting, though. And I still think they've done a really good job of building up the tag team match and making that feel like a big deal, while also shifting the focus back on Cody and Roman and making that match feel as important as it should be for the rematch from last year where Cody should win, but again, that's far from confirmed. One more thing before we get into Raw for Monday night. I haven't seen Dynamite yet as of this recording, so can't talk too much. We talked a lot about AEW last week. I'll probably ask you one thing about AEW in a moment before we get to the Raw review. But did you see the whole, I know you're not a GCW guy, because I'm not either, but the announcement about Shayna working that Bloodsport show? And if so, do you think this could open the
I don't know if floodgates is the right word, but open that, and I hate to use the word forbidden door to that term, but as far as WWE working with other smaller promotions and letting them do this sort of stuff at a weekend like WrestleMania, where Shayna is definitely not making the Mania card, so letting her work in Indy that weekend, where hopefully she doesn't get hurt, I feel like is beneficial for everybody.
No, yeah, I saw that. I mean, like you said, I think just really depends on who it is. With her specifically, like you said, I don't think she's doing anything, so makes sense. I mean, I don't hate the idea. I don't know. I feel like they're doing good on their own right now. I don't feel like you need to like get involved. Other people, obviously, people like that, but at this moment, I don't think it's like totally necessary. But I do like you said, giving her the opportunity, because realistically, what else is she gonna really do?
Yeah, I mean, business-wise, this doesn't affect them at all. I mean, you're 100% right. This is exactly why we probably will never see, and if not maybe for a long time, ever see some sort of formal working relationship. And definitely not a Forbidden Door show, I don't think. And maybe, again, maybe at some point down the road with Triple H in charge, I don't know if it's less possible, more possible, I don't know. But WWE doesn't need to be working with the TNAs and the AEWs and New Japans. Maybe in some stuff, like for a talent exchange every now and again. And they've done more of that, not with the major companies, but, you know, they had Jordan Grace in the Rumble, and they've done some indie stuff with Charlie Dempsey. Earlier this year, he was working, I think, Noah, Pro Wrestling Noah, and some other stuff they've had going on. I think it's cool. I probably will watch the match. The GCW shit is not for me. I saw one GCW show 2 years ago, and it was this big show. They had all this hype around, and I think Jeff Jarrett fucking beat that Effie guy and... I think the main event, what was the main event? Dean Ambrose and Homicide, and it was a complete fucking failure. I mean, the match sucked. I think it was something like that, not Homicide. It was, the return of Nick Gage, I think, was the main event. The show was just terrible, and I haven't watched a single GCW show since. But I do think working with them on, like, the Bloodsport thing, Shayna specifically, like you said, you're not going to see Cody Rhodes showing up per se, but someone like a Shayna who doesn't have a match Mania weekend, to me, makes perfect sense. So I like that they're doing that sort of thing. One last thing I did want to ask you about, kind of get a hot take on it, and it's not really a hot take because we talked a little bit about it last week, and we didn't really get a chance to get too into it because we had to go. But there was an article the other day, I'm sure you saw it, I didn't send it to you, but I'm sure you saw it, from the New York Post that a lot of people were quote tweeting and talking about. And it was a basic opinion article, but people were, literally anyone could have written it. I could have written that, I could write the exact same thing, but because it was the New York Post, it's a big brand name. Everyone saw it and started commenting on it. Doesn't make that, you know, that it's gospel or anything like that, the gospel truth, but this guy had an opinion and wrote about it. Basically, the headline said, WWE should look itself in the mirror, literally is what the headline said. And it said, WWE should look itself in the mirror and reassess how they're scouting free agents, with Okada, Ospreay, and Monet all going to AEW. Now, of those three, WWE not getting a single one, is not concerning at all, but like slightly odd for as big business as, you know, no pun intended, WWE is doing right now. And I haven't read the actual article, to be completely fair. I have yet to read the entire thing, so I'm not going to shit on the author. Again, it's his opinion. But I think the word that way seems just clickbaity to me, because WWE is obviously doing perfectly fine right now on their own. And again, we got into it a little bit at the end of last week's episode with Okada, Ospreay, the whole free agent thing where, you know, Tony Khan is clearly offering big money deals to these people, and they're great gets for his company, but I think the entire idea, from even Meltzer himself, if not Fightful, one of those type of sources, was that he's dishing out big money to these people with the idea that it's going to pay off with a bigger TV rights deal from Warner when that time comes in the next couple of months, and if they can get an even bigger deal, then he's, and in his mind, he feels justified in paying these people as much money. So when you read an article like that, or read a headline like that, and you hear about Monet being offered millions of dollars, and Okada and Ospreay, and I think, honestly, all three of those talents specifically are worth that amount of money. What are your thoughts on that as far as WWE needing to look itself in the mirror as far as free agency goes?
I mean, I guess it just really depends on what your thoughts are and if you really think those people are going to change. I mean, for WWE, like you said, I just feel like they're so hot right now. Bringing those three people, yeah, would it make it a little bit better? Yeah, but, I mean, it's not like it's overly changing business. I assume they all went to AEW because they probably got more money. I know Ospreay specifically still living in England, so what's Tony flying him in and out every week? I mean, it's something WWE definitely want to do. I mean, it's good for them, but I think also the WWE approach clearly has worked on. I mean, I couldn't tell you the last time they really did go after a big time. When's the last, like, big time free agent they signed? Brock Lesnar? Ronda Rousey? I mean, they really haven't gone out of their way in the last probably 3 to 5 years signing like big time free agents. They've kind of just stuck to the NIL program, using NXT. I mean, I think that's probably for them. They think that's a better working environment. It's easy for that. It's cheaper, obviously, as well. But I mean, I liked all three people that you named. I just don't think any of them would really change WWE business. So why spend all the money on them when you're probably not going to get the return on investment? I think that's, like I said, I think Tony's banking on them basically getting them a better rights deal. But if they don't, then how is it going to justify all the money spending on them? Like, how could you even equate, like,
that's
how
the question.
Are you going to make that money back?
Yeah, that's the question. I mean, I don't know. We don't know yet. And I do think they will end up with a better deal. Now that WWE especially, they're not negotiating anymore. They're ending up on Netflix. They're on USA. They're on CW with NXT now. WWE at one point, there was a rumor, a report that they were in talks with, you know, Warner Brothers, and maybe Raw would go to TNT or TBS kicking off Dynamite. I didn't really think that was overly likely, but at this point, we've seen enough crazy shit happen in wrestling in the last couple of years alone. It probably shouldn't shock me. That didn't happen, though, so I think Warner will probably remain all in with AEW. And regardless, I mean, we could talk about the ratings and shit like that, and we have, as far as Dynamite's ratings, not really making a lick of a difference, the rating not really improving at all. I don't think we talked about that last week, because we spoke before the rating came out. The rating remained largely the same for the big business edition of Dynamite last week, which is definitely disappointing. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. That's a disappointing number. It was only around 800,000. You would think for a big debut show, for something along those lines, they would have done a better number for a big... I mean, listen, I'm not the biggest Sasha Banks fan in the world, but she is one of the best talents in the world, male or female. You would think they would do a slightly better number with the show being centered around her. And I don't want to hear this bullshit. Well, it's because they never actually announced her, so that's why. Okay, they never announced Punk either, but he pulled in over 1 million people for a fucking Friday night show at 10 p.m. Eastern time 3 years ago. I mean, that's just ridiculous, and Dynamite's supposed to be their flagship, so they definitely should have pulled in a better number than they did. Listen, I think it's totally fine. I think the talent getting paid what they feel they're worth is great, but I really don't think WWE dropped the ball, because I think it's, you have to look at the circumstances here. This is what I'm saying by not reading the article. Maybe they mentioned this. But like you said, with Ospreay, the guy didn't want to move to the States. I listened to the interview that he did with Jericho a couple of weeks ago where he said, you know, just the deals were just night and day, and WWE totally offered him less money than AEW did. I mean, he basically confirmed that. They're not going to be flying the guy in and out every single week. And Okada, same thing. He may not have wanted to move to the U.S. full-time for this run in, you know, WWE or AEW. That doesn't mean they can't go there down the road. I think Sasha's the only real indicator that, you know, she was someone that they could have gotten, they didn't, even with WWE business booming right now. I think Okada and Ospreay aren't the best examples because they are two amazing talents, but they just don't want to move to the States. If they did, WWE probably would have had a better chance of landing them. And if they were in the States and they still did not choose WWE, then I feel like there is a bigger issue there. But I feel like, not that this was a news story, it was an opinion, but I feel like this is a non-story, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think they like the approach they're going with. They're not going to overexert themselves. I just feel like with you mentioned the rating. At this point, I just don't think it's ever going to change.
No, I don't think so either, yeah.
And that's what it's going to be. So I feel like, and if they thought that was going to change anything, I think after Punk and all these other people they brought in, they really didn't see that big of a change. If anything, it just, especially with Okada and Ospreay, I feel like that just more like you're just catering to the fans you already have. Like, they like, those fans already know who they are. They like them. So, like, yeah, for your existing fans, it's a great get. Bring in new people. Like, I feel like Sasha would be more of that, or Mercedes would be more of that, because obviously she's been in WWE. So for a long time, she was in WWE for a long time, one of the bigger stars, so people know who she is. With Okada and Ospreay, I mean, if you only watch WWE, you'd have no idea who they are. So, yeah, I think, like you said, I think they're just happy with the approach that they've gone with. The whole NIL Performance Center, they've seen a lot of people become big stars. They're not really dishing out that much money off the bat, and then they can see what they're doing from there, and then we'll move on, so... I don't think it's a huge loss. Like you said, I think Okada and Ospreay is more of the traveling thing. They're not going to fly them in every week. But like you said, and I also think Sasha, maybe they told her. I mean, she already said she's going back to WWE. So
yeah, exactly.
Maybe they just said go make some money, and then we'll see on the other side. So I think their business is booming. I think it's saying that they need to change up their big business practices or their whatever. I think it's just an opinion. But I think just based on what they're doing business-wise, I think they're fine.
And I'm not, just to single out those three individuals either. That could go for any free agent from AEW if MJF were free, which, pretty confirmed that, he has not, become a free agent, and he also re-signed with AEW a few months ago. Kenny Omega, The Bucks, whoever it might be, WWE does not need any of those individuals. Even the people on their own roster, I'm not going to sit here and say the company would crumble tomorrow without even Cody Rhodes or Rollins, and they're big stars, but they have enough people waiting in the wings, and they are the top baby faces in the promotion. Roman might be the biggest if they were to lose him. That might be a big blow because they've built the entire company around him creatively for the past 4 years. But beyond him, if they were to lose any one male or female on their roster, even if it was a couple people, it's not going to make the biggest difference business-wise because, the company itself is firing on all cylinders. This is not, the WWF from 30 years ago where the live gate depended on who was on the show, and it was a matter of, who's coming to town? Is it Hulk Hogan? Is it this guy, Stone Cold, whatever? It hasn't been like that in a very, very long time. WWE, for better or for worse, has made their brand name hot, and it doesn't even really matter who's on the show. Again, Cody, it can be a ticket mover. Rollins, maybe. I feel like Cody and Roman are probably the two biggest draws, quote-unquote, currently in the company. Active performers. Beyond that, I'm not really sure. Beyond The Rock, obviously. CM Punk, I think, is another one. But that's really about it. So I'm not going to sit here and say everyone on the WWE roster, they're indispensable. No, they're pretty, they're pretty dispensable, too. I hate to say that, but it's all about the WWE, brand at this point. And it's just a different time, man. Like, you go back 8 years ago when AJ showed up. I don't know how much money they offered him to come in back in 2016, but it was a different time. They needed AJ Styles. They needed someone like him to come in and pay him whatever they felt like he was worth, didn't change his name, let him use his fucking trademark logo and all this other sort of shit, because they needed AJ Styles in 2016 to really freshen up the product. They didn't have a lot of options. It was a lot of Roman Reigns and then nothing. So, and then AJ became a big star for them because they pushed him accordingly. In 2024, they have a lot of people as it is. Where do Ospreay and Okada even end up on the Mania card if they come in? We were speculating, maybe Okada could face Nakamura, or Okada could face, I don't know, but you make a match for them, obviously. But just because they don't come in, I don't really think it's a reflection on WWE. I think it's more a reflection on the circumstances for those individuals. Like you said with Sasha, we already know she's coming back. She has said as much. I feel like she thinks that she can make, and she did, is she is making more money in AEW, and then she can come back to WWE after that. And at the end of the day, it's a business. She doesn't have to go to AEW to grow the company. That doesn't have to be her goal. She could just go there to make money. People do the same thing with WWE. That's just a fucking job. It's a business. What do you expect? I don't know. I it was an interesting opinion. I just thought it was worth commenting on because a lot of people are all up in arms about it. It's a fucking opinion piece. It's not that big of a deal. I know we've spent all this time talking about it, but not the shit on the guy or the opinion. I'm just saying it is worth illustrating that the fact they didn't go to WWE really doesn't say much about WWE because their business is as hot as it is. It might say something to the effect of they're not stable creatively because, Vince left and then he came back and that whole thing was a whole, mess and whatnot. But I do hope WWE does a better job with the free agents in the future. I know they got Jade Cargill. You mentioned their last big free agent signing. I would say Jade Cargill.
Yeah, I forgot about Jade. My bad.
Yeah, you could say Punk, but Punk already worked there. It's not really. He was a massive free agent, but that's a bit different because he got fired from AEW. He didn't really have much of a choice unless he wanted to work bingo halls in TNA. Jade was a massive get for them because she left AEW willingly, and then she's here now. So beyond her, though, you're right. They haven't signed a lot of free agents. They don't really need to right now. The NIL stuff has worked out really well for them in the last couple of years. But hopefully, we can see people of Okada and Ospreay's ilk in WWE at some point down the road, illustrating they can get those big signings when they want them. Because this whole notion, one last thing from Meltzer on Ospreay, that he underestimated the star that Ospreay is. Give me a fucking break. Triple H might be the biggest wrestling fan in that entire company as far as the officials might go. You could say that about Vince, but Triple H, dude, come on. Triple H definitely knows the talent that Ospreay is, but he didn't pay him stupid money because they know they don't need him right now. They just don't. They don't. They're not going to pay him every single. They're not going to have to fly him in every single week to what, work a fucking house show in Poughkeepsie, New York? No, they know they don't need to right now, so why would they pay all this money if they don't need to? What, sign him just for the sake of signing? Well, we would end up in the exact same position that we were in 5 years ago when people were like, oh, yeah, they're just signing people to sign him at this point. That's what it would have been like with Ospreay. They would have brought in Ospreay to do what? I mean, you could have pushed him off the bat, obviously, but they already have enough. And then you would have complained about Kevin Owens not being on the show and people like that. So people just like a reason to complain about anything. So just thought it was an interesting subject to tackle. From Raw on Monday night, I thought it was a really good show. They did a pretty effective job of setting the stage for WrestleMania, I thought. I'm going to be all over the map here, and we won't go too long with this before I let you go. But I thought the main event was really, really good between Becky Lynch and Nia Jax, last woman standing. Nia obviously getting her comeuppance in the hand of Becky Lynch. Becky finally reigning supreme in the end after this feud that's lasted a couple of months. Nia continuing to put in the best work of her entire career. I cannot stress that enough. You know, for someone that was very much down on WWE bringing her back, I'm not going to say she was the greatest signing of the past year, but they've really utilized her well, and she herself has gotten into better shape and put in some great work and stuff like that. So I thought that was a really fun way to close the show, and they've done a great job of heating up Becky and kind of making her go through all these hoops and overcome all these obstacles before she faces Rhea Ripley for the Women's World Championship at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I thought this was a really good match. Like you said, I don't want to gloss over. I think Nia's doing great work. Just applaud her. I think this is definitely a lot better than she was before she left. So kudos to her. She's been doing well. And like you said, I think it's been good to heat up Becky a little bit. I think she needed this, kind of like overcoming all the odds, kind of getting her up to Rhea's status. And no, I thought it was a really good main event. Like to see the face-to-face to end the show. I'm really excited for Becky and Rhea.
Do you think there's any way that Nia ends up in the Mania card? And I don't think it's a match with Liv Morgan, but do you think she could end up in the Mania card, maybe in a surprise match with Jade Cargill or someone like that in the next couple of weeks? Because she's been featured pretty heavily since coming back, and it seems weird to me that she would not be in the card in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I feel like we like mentioned maybe her and Jade. I mean, we haven't seen Jade since the Royal Rumble. At this point, I feel like not now or never, but I don't know. At this point, I just don't think they'd just implement something now. I mean, the show is a few weeks away. It is possible, but I don't know. I think there's a better chance to do her and Liv than they do her and Jade at this point, unfortunately.
I could see some sort of a battle royal, and we have seen Jade on TV, but it's always been on. It's been entirely on SmackDown in the backstage segments with Nick Aldis and confronting Io. They've teased her signing with SmackDown. I don't know if that's definitely happening. That could all just be a swerve, and she ends up on Raw. The Nia match could still happen. They have two Raws left. They're in Chicago next week. So maybe they have her come out and Nia issues an open challenge for Mania. I mean, they set up Brock and Omos pretty last minute, and that match was what it was. So, I mean, they could do really whatever they want. Speaking of Raw being in Chicago, what do you think CM Punk will have in store for Raw next week when he returns? Obviously confronting McIntyre, I would imagine, or Seth or whatever. He did say in that quick video that aired on Raw on Monday, he will be at WrestleMania. Now, I know he's there for the weekend as part of WWE World. What'd you say?
He's cleared.
Do you think he's actually cleared?
No, I was kidding.
Okay. I did see some people say that. What do you think he does? Do you think he does, is he the referee, which I'm not sure how feasible that is with his injured shoulder, arm, whatever. What do you think he does at WrestleMania?
I don't know. Like I said, I've seen people say the referee. I mean, I guess. I don't think it's overly necessary. Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with him just being just there. And like I said, but if he's got to get involved, I feel like the referee thing makes the most sense. But I'm fine with him just being like on the panel and stuff. I don't think he really needs to be like on the show itself.
Yeah, well, I think he could be. I would be surprised if he said that he was going to be at Mania in this video that aired on Raw, and they only relegated him to the pre-show, and it's not on the actual show itself. I mean, I could see him. What is it? The fucking
special guest host? I
was going to say. I mean, maybe he could be hosting. I think would he be the ring announcer? Like, I could see a situation where he gets involved and he attempts to cost McIntyre the World Heavyweight Championship, and it backfires, and he costs Rollins the match instead. Now, that sounds like something that would happen on Raw, but that would be one way of protecting Rollins in defeat, getting the belt on Drew. I don't know. I wouldn't completely hate that.
No, I don't hate that either.
If it was done the right way, that is. So, I don't know. He did say he'll be there, and he'll be on Raw next week in Chicago. So, I guess we'll have a better idea at that point. Because I feel like Rollins and McIntyre, the build has been great. I wouldn't mind if they added a stipulation, because they already had two matches recently. One at Crown Jewel, one at Day One. Rollins won both. You know, they have not acknowledged McIntyre's contract status at all, which has kind of surprised me. Maybe they feel like if they lean into it, then it makes it just kayfabe, and then people are like, all right, obviously he must have resigned if they're bringing it up. I don't know. I'm not really sure, but I thought it would have been interesting if they acknowledged that, because they could bring that up and mention, hey, he's not resigned yet. He may take the World Heavyweight Championship and leave. And maybe Drew will say that to Punk in Chicago next week. That'd be pretty funny. But I don't know. Just an idea. But the card is shaping up. But speaking of the promos, though, I feel like on Raw, they did a really good job of focusing in and honing in on the promos alone. There were some good matches, but like the Paul Heyman-Cody Rhodes promo I thought was great. You know, we had Jimmy and Jay at the beginning of the show hyping up their match, and that was the best Jimmy Uso promo I think I've ever heard. No prom pictures, unfortunately. Fortunately for you, but, you know, they did, you know, mention building up the match and why Jimmy turned on Jay. It was a dumb explanation, but, you know, I appreciate the attempt of an explanation nonetheless. We had that. We had the great contract signing for the Intercontinental Championship, and even Rollins and Drew. Your thoughts, just to kind of take a step back here and to acknowledge the promo work that Raw has been putting in, and SmackDown too, but I feel like the promos have just been infinitely better under Triple H. Vince gone. Feels like they have a lot more leeway than they did previously.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think even, I mean, you can even kind of tie in the announcers as well. I just feel like on the all the communication front, they've just had a lot more freedom. I mean, even with Cole and Pat McAfee, I feel like they're a lot more entertaining now than, and you can tell that they're having fun and it seems more genuine than when Vince was there. Everything just seems so scripted. And I feel like the same thing with the promos. Maybe they get like, they give them a topic and try to get like someone, they kind of give them the path and then they kind of finish the whole rest of it. But I don't know, I feel like the promos seem more genuine. They seem more, just like I said, genuine, more heartfelt, more realistic. They don't seem like some comedy or soap opera writer is writing in scripted promos. So I think the promo work's been good. Maybe it's just showing that these guys can, without the reins being on, they can actually cut good promos. Like I said, I think on Raw specifically, SmackDown has mostly been Rock and Roman and Cody and Seth, who we know can cut good promos. Mm-hmm. But on Raw specifically, I feel like you said, easily the best Jimmy Uso promo I've ever had. Jay's been cutting decent promos. Drew's been cutting great promos lately. I just feel like, like I said, the reins are off. Maybe they give him a topic, but it seems it sounds more genuine and it comes off a lot better on TV than what it did in the past.
Even Chad Gable, dude. Chad Gable was not a part of that contract signing on Monday night. They did not add him to the match as people thought that they might with the shoulders being up, and they didn't do it. Not to say that that would have been a dumb idea if they did. At this point, it would have just been, it's better just to keep it a singles match. But they did not do that. They kept it they're keeping it a singles match. But Chad Gable interacted with Sami Zayn backstage before the segment and after the segment. And I thought the whole thing was just fucking great. I thought the shot alone, we talk about it every week, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but the shot alone, presentation-wise, because I just love the production value right now that they're putting in. You mentioned it, and Alexis picked up on it too, like the little pictures they do for the people in the match or the promo or whatever before the match or promo coming up as they go to commercial is really, really well done, and it's a great touch. But that shot of Sami Zayn walking to the back, and then they just immediately cut to Awesome Truth, and then they come into the ring. That was fucking cool. Like, I love seeing stuff like that. And they have a lot of seamless shots during the matches and promos themselves as well. Themselves. But back to Chad Gable. Like, he told Sami, I'm not pissed at you. I just don't think you can beat him. It gave me, we were joking and I was listening to what you were watching it. It gave me big Shawn Michaels vibes with The Undertaker from 26. Not to say this is the exact same thing, but Gable frustrated he can't face Gunther. He's not facing Gunther at WrestleMania. But, you know, he's saying, oh, you just can't beat him, Sammy. I know I can. To me, it just means more. The one thing Shawn Michaels never did during that entire storyline was turn heel. I feel like this with Chad Gable could be leading to a heel turn where it cost Sami Zayn the championship. It's one of those things like those ex-boyfriend-girlfriend things. If you can't have him, if I can't have him, then you can't either. Same thing here. If I can't beat Gunther, then you shouldn't be able to either. And he's going to cost Sami Zayn the championship. So what's your assessment of that as far as where you think they might be going with it? And are you in favor of a Chad Gable heel turn? Because personally, I am not.
You're not.
I'm not.
I mean, I think I don't hate it. I mean, getting away from the Alpha Academy foolishness for me is step one.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I feel like they're taking that. Like you said, I also don't think it's like, if Gunther retains, I don't hate it. So if it was anyone else, like I like Sammy, but like I said, I don't mind if he turned on Sammy and we got that coming out. We get more serious Chad Gable. So I mean, I don't hate it. But I mean, that's what seemingly seems like it's going.
The thing is, I do hope and want Sami Zayn to lose at Mania. Not because I'm anti-Sami Zayn. This isn't a fuck Sami Zayn type thing. This is, I think Gunther should retain because I don't think Sami has anything to gain from becoming champion. It would be an amazing moment if he beats Gunther at Mania. The match is going to be great regardless. They already had a match on Raw that a lot of people forget about a year ago last summer. I was there for the match in Hartford that he had with Owens to Gunther. He had a match with Sami about a week or two after that. It was a great match. But Sami's already been Intercontinental Champion. He literally flat out said in the segment on Monday, I made history last year by ending the 600-day-plus reign of the Usos. I'm going to do the same thing this year, ending the 600-plus day, not in these exact terms, but I'm going to end the exact 600-day reign plus reign of Gunther of the Intercontinental Championship as well. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. You're not really the underdog in that sense. Chad Gable is way more of an underdog in this situation than Sami Zayn. So if Sami Zayn loses to Gunther, if it was clean, perfect. You can set up Gunther and Gable for another time. But if Gunther costs Sami the championship...
I mean Gable.
What did I say, Gunther?
You said Gunther.
Yeah, my bad. Gunther beats Sami. If Gable costs Sami the championship, Gable-Gunther confuses me. Then they kind of cancel each other out then because Gable's a heel. He's feuding with Sami. That gives Sami something to do. Sami's not winning the title. And then Gable's not going after the championship. And then Gunther's going to lose it to, I mean, maybe someone else from SmackDown via the draft. I have no idea. But I just don't like that idea. I just feel like with Chad Gable, the story is right there. I mean, I know you weren't sold on it a month ago, but they're making him more serious. This is a hill. We're running up that hill here. This is a hill I don't know if I'm willing to die on, but I am pretty confident that it should be Chad Gable taking that belt from Gunther. There's just no one else in that roster that makes sense to me to be the one for the job.
I mean, it's Jey Uso, obviously, but don't want to scroll back on that. But no, I think if anything, for WrestleMania at least, I think it's a little too late for Chad Gable. Like I said, I like how he is going more serious and stuff like that. Obviously, at this point, he's not going to be included in the match. But they keep up. Like I said, I don't know if he has to go heel and then we get to that point, but... yeah, I mean, I like what they're doing with him. I don't think he should be the one to beat Gunther, but I do like the step of going more serious.
I think so, too. I think it's a step in the right direction. I don't know. These shows have just been a lot better, honestly. I just feel like Raw is just much more must-see than it was. It's not the Attitude Era in terms of, you know, the electricity and stuff, but, you know, it's pretty... Some segments can be electric, and the matches are good. The promos
and the
have
signs
been,
are coming back.
The signs are coming back. Yeah, I said that in that tweet the other day. They're encouraging fan sides again. I love it here. I love when they do that sort of shit. The commentary is more relaxed, and Pat McAfee can be a bit polarizing. I love his commentary personally, but that's just me. I feel like him and Cole are a great duo. I don't know, man. Just one last thing before I let you go. Just your overall assessment of the road to WrestleMania so far, because I talked about this already in Hashtag on Wednesday. I know you can't recall every Mania build from the past 10 years, but I don't know. I just feel like we sit here a lot every year, and we say, not that it's been bad, but like, you know, this could have been better, and I'm excited for Mania because it's Mania, but, you know, the build's okay. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just a massive mark. I've really been enjoying the build of Mania overall and feel like this has been... The event itself could be terrible. I have no idea in terms of its execution. But the build itself, I feel like, has been the best it's been in at least 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I would say so. I think I'm looking for... I don't think there's a match so far announced that I'd be like, oh, I'm not looking forward to it. Maybe like the 6-man Home Depot Lowe's ladder match that we haven't got the sponsor yet, but we're hoping I'll send a call to my friends at Lowe's or Home Depot. But besides that, I feel like every other match I'm looking forward to, that's at least been announced at least. So, I mean, I liked how they did Logan Paul. I like how they added Owens in there as well. So we've got the 3-way there. I like that. Io and Bayley's should be good. Becky and Rhea I'm looking forward to. Seth and Drew, and then Cody and all that stuff, and obviously Jay and Jimmy. So I think they're doing a good job. I hope they don't just start adding in Gunther and Sami. I forgot about them as well. Mm-hmm. I hope they don't start just adding random matches just to get everyone on the card. I understand they do have to add some probably more matches because just each night's like 17 hours. But I think so far what they've had announced, the build has been pretty good for all the matches.
I think it makes sense, though, to add a few more matches. Like you said, I don't want a show that's 5 hours long in both nights. But, you know, I think the report from WrestleVotes, it was either WrestleVotes or SC Scoops, I forgot the source, I apologize. But they had said they might be looking to add at least 4 more matches that have not been confirmed already. Because I think there's 10 matches confirmed, 5 each night, we're thinking here. I think it's going to be 7 each night. It's not going to be 5 each night. I think 7 each night is the magic number. I mean, some of those matches are going to go long, and if you have a Mania that's 4 hours max, I would have it be around 3, 3.5 personally. But 4 hour for one night, night two will probably be closer to 4 hours. Then I think that's the sweet spot right there. I think they're going to add something with LWO and Legado. I fucking hate it as a multi-man person match. I like Zelina. Great that she'd be getting a Mania match, and the rest of the crew in both groups. It really should just be Rey and Santos one-on-one, but they're doing that on SmackDown tomorrow night, so I'm not confident that they're doing a match at Mania one-on-one as well. Don't like that, but at least they'll be on the card, hopefully, I would think. That match, and then Bianca is not going to be at WrestleMania. There's no way that she's not at WrestleMania. We talked about this beforehand, but it's probably going to be something with her and Damage Control. And I know she's been feuding with Damage Control for the best 2 years. It really should be Bianca and Tiffany. That's right there. I like Naomi. She doesn't need to be on the card, I don't think. I feel like Tiffany doesn't need to be on either, but I just would rather see Bianca and Tiffany one-on-one than that Bianca tag team match. I mean, at least she would get on the show, and I'm sure she would win the tag titles. What did he fucking do? But the tag team match isn't really my cup of tea personally. I know you agree.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, especially with the, like, you're going to get some casuals going to WrestleMania as well. I think her versus Tiffany could be, like, that show-stealing match that's kind of, like, solidify how good the women's division is and shine a bright light on Tiffany, who people don't really know much about, and just kind of solidify how good Bianca is. Her in a throwaway tag match that no one literally cares about? No, thank you.
Yeah. I would rather see that, though, than a WrestleMania showcase match, which they did last year. And again, I get it. You want to get everyone on the show, get them a WrestleMania paycheck. I understand that. Were they doing this yet? I mean, I know they've been doing this for the past 10 years. Like, oh, we got to get everyone on the show. I just don't like that mentality. I get it from a business standpoint. I'm not saying taking money out of people's pockets, but some of these matches just do not fucking matter at all. I mean, can they not just do it on the pre-show? Like, if they did those matches on the pre-show, that's one thing. You're still getting on the show, and, you know, I know Austin Aries and Neville were pissed off years ago. They weren't on the DVD, and how much money are you making off a fucking DVD at this point anyway? But if they're still on the show in some other capacity, then I feel like, I mean, if you're on the Mania SmackDown, for example, then you should be making money regardless, even if you're not on the actual Mania card. I don't know if they do the Andre Battle Royal at Mania again. They haven't done it in a Mania in a while, in like 5 years. I mean, it doesn't really matter to me personally. Just do it on the fucking pre-show. The showcase match would make sense, but we're already getting
it. Honestly, I wouldn't even be against if they did like Nia, Liv, Bianca, and Tiffany in like a four-way, and winner gets a future like title match. Even if you want to do like a little four-way to get people on the show, like I feel like that could still be pretty decent. But like I said, I'm not even the biggest Bianca fan. I'd like Bianca, but I'm not like, she's not like my favorite wrestler. I just feel like her in a throwaway tag match is just an injustice. And Liv not being on the show for how much he, even Nia, for how much they've been pushed on Raw, I feel like would be an injustice as well.
Yeah, I mean, at least with them, a match, I mean, with Liv, I don't know. I still say Jade and Nia could work. Liv, I'm not sure. You know, a Battle Royal, they can bring back the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. I like your idea, though. I do like the idea of a showcase match. When I shit on the showcase match a minute ago, I'm talking the tag matches they did last year. The matches weren't bad, but they meant nothing. There was literally nothing on the line. Nothing at all. So I wouldn't do that again. And we're already getting a six-pack Home Depot ladder match, like you said, with six teams for the men. So to do another fatal four-way tag team match is just fucking ridiculous. That's like WrestleMania 2000 levels of dumb. So, but if you wanted to do a singles match with like singles women or men or whatever, Tiffany, Bianca, you know, Bianca still deserves an actual storyline at Mania, not some thrown together match, but you know, that would be better than doing the tag team match. I agree with that. So we still got a couple weeks. We'll assess some more as the weeks go on, as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania. I am seeing you in, what, 9 days now from as we're speaking right now. We talked about Becky Lynch in her match with Nia earlier. Becky Lynch autograph signing next Saturday. So I will see you then, but we'll speak before then next week here on the show. New episodes every single Thursday, WrestleRant.com, WrestleRantRadio.com, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, Podbean, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Rate the show, review the show, subscribe to the show. Never miss new episodes every single Thursday. Like I said to you before, Mr. Marceau, keep your appetite open for pizza next Saturday, because it's probably what we're going with.
Oh, can't wait. I'm pumped.
I'm pumped, brother. I'll talk to you then.
All right, see you later, man.
Join Graham, GSM Matthews, and RJ Marceau every Thursday
as they run down their weekly wrestling rants, offer expert analysis, host exclusive interviews, and more. Subscribe today on all your favorite podcast platforms and never miss an episode of Wrestle Rant Radio.